A true Jewish leader feels the gravitational pull formed by all of God's people. Yehoshaphat feels this pull. And yet, this virtue also contains a danger. For this leads to Yehoshaphat's feeling affinity not only to the people to the north, but also to their ruler. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 18. Greater than Solomon, the reign of Yehoshaphat. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Natan Sharansky reports that many years after earning his freedom, he had the opportunity to meet another famous prisoner who had emerged from many years of confinement, Nelson Mandela. Mandela contrasted his own experiences, whereas many compatriots opposing apartheid saw him every day, with the loneliness of Sharansky. Sharansky writes, quote, "He told me that, in 1988, Helen Suttman, the only South African parliamentarian who had fought stubbornly for the right to visit him in prison, gave him a copy of Fear No Evil. Mandela was in his 25th year of imprisonment. Glancing at my 400-page prison memoir, he told her, 'It's too thick. I won't have time to read it all.' Once he started, though, Mandela said he read the book from cover to cover. 'The interrogations were familiar to me,' Mandela told me, 'but boy, you really suffered.' 'I suffered?' I asked, surprised. 'You suffered three times worse, 27 years. But,' Mandela replied proudly, 'my people were with me, and you were alone.'" Sharansky continues, "I was surprised how agitated his words made me. It felt like he was insulting my partners in crime, the Jewish people. 'But my people were with me too,' I proclaimed, equally proudly. Mandela smiled. 'I read your book. It was all in your imagination. My people were with me in real life, all the time.'" End quote. Sharansky, as he describes, was stunned by this response, because for him, the connection with his people around the world was as real as the people standing in Mandela's cell. The challenge leveled by Mandela was why Sharansky chose the title for his latest book, co-written with Gil Troy, "Never Alone. The Ties That Bind Are Real." To feel the bonds with all of one's people, this is the essence of leadership for the Bible. And yet, as Sharansky's book makes clear, one must also understand and never overlook when fellow Jews have, in some sense, violated something sacred to the Jewish people. It is this tension that we examine in the legacy of one of the greatest leaders of Jerusalem and one of the most forgotten, who seems to have led a golden age, who felt a bond to all the people, but whose bond also endangered all that he had built. The splitting of the Israelite monarchy led, at least initially, to two very different models of kingship. In Jerusalem, Solomon's son Rehavam reigns for 17 years, is followed for a brief time by his son Aviah, and then by Aviah's son Asa for 41 years. We are told in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest." Asa's reign is a time of spiritual strength and political prosperity, but it is also a time of tension with the northern kingdom of Israel, which experiences initially total instability and constant religious depreciation. In the north, Jeroboam is followed briefly by his son and then by a very different king from a very different tribe, Baasha, whose own son is then overthrown, first by one military leader, Zimri, who is then immediately after replaced by another, Omri. It is Omri's dynasty that will rule from the location that will be seen as the counterbalance to Jerusalem, Shomron, Samaria. Omri marries off his son and successor, Ahab, to a pagan princess, the wicked Jezebel. Under Ahab, the prophets of God in the north are assaulted. An embrace of Baal sweeps the northern kingdom. The situation could not be more different in the south, where Jerusalem's king, Asa's son Yehoshaphat, rules over a golden age. Here are some verses from 2 Chronicles 17. "And Yehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Baalim. But he sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. And he had riches and honor in abundance." And in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Chael and to Avadiah and to Zechariah and to Netanel and to Michaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the Torah of the Lord with them. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. As Rabbi Alex Israel has noted, the description of Jehoshaphat's prosperity and power recall descriptions of Solomon's age, but with additions. Here we are told Torah is taught throughout the land. Whereas paganism entered Jerusalem under Solomon, here monotheism spreads out from Jerusalem under Jehoshaphat. As Rabbi Israel further notes, whereas Solomon had asked for a wise heart with which he could judge the people from Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat goes further, sending judges from Jerusalem throughout the land to seek justice. Thus we are further informed by Chronicles. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the walled cities of Judah, city by city. This was a great king, and his greatness was made manifest in another way. As Rabbi Israel further points out, the fact that, unlike his fathers, there is no record of tension with the northern kingdom of Israel highlights how Jehoshaphat feels a bond with God's covenantal people in the north, with those living in the kingdom of Israel. That is as it should be. In his book, Never Alone, Sharansky describes a letter to his wife in which he gives her a metaphor for how his bond to his people sustained him against the KGB. Quote, I sent long letters to my family in Moscow and Jerusalem. My handwritten letter to Avital was 12 pages, single-spaced. I recalled how one of my first cellmates, clearly cooperating with the KGB when they were interrogating me, mentioned Galileo Galilei. The Inquisition in 1633 forced this great scientist to recant his true theory that the Earth orbits around the sun. Nevertheless, at the end of his life, he proclaimed, yet it moves, restoring the truth. Now there was a smart man, my cellmate, Timofeev, told me. He recanted to the Inquisition and was able to continue his scientific research with so much benefit to humanity. That was the KGB's constant message. Just say that we are right. Get released, then do whatever you want. What I took from this conversation, Sharansky continues, was that nearly 400 years after Galileo's moment of weakness, this legendary scientist's stature could still be used to pressure me. That proved that what we do really does matter, that we are all interconnected. I certainly didn't want any secret police ever using my name to weaken anyone else. In my letter to Avital, I wrote, in addition to Newton's law of the universal gravitational pull of objects, there is also a universal gravitational pull of souls, of the bond between them and the influence of one soul on the other. With each word we speak and each step we take, we touch other souls and have an impact on them. End quote. Thus, a true Jewish leader feels the gravitational pull formed by all of God's people. Jehoshaphat feels this pull. And yet, this virtue also contains a danger. For this leads to Jehoshaphat's feeling affinity not only to the people to the north, but also to their ruler. 2 Chronicles 18. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. Jehoshaphat joins with Ahab in battle, and this clearly comes from a sense of covenantal responsibility with the northern kingdom. And yet, while the bond he feels to all the people is admirable, it ought not to lead to closeness between his own royal house and a wicked one. Thus we are further informed of the prophet's criticism that comes. Chapter 19. And Jehoshaphat the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? We learn further, as Rabbi Alex Israel notes, that this feeling of kinship with the northern kingdom led to Jehoshaphat's joining his own son and heir, Jehoram, to Ahab's daughter in marriage. Thus, 2 Chronicles chapter 21 tells us about Jehoram. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. As we will see tomorrow, this will bring disaster to the Jerusalem that Jehoshaphat has spent his life building. And therein lies a lesson, which is that a biblically inspired leader must balance the proper love of God's people, the gravitational connection to them, with a recognition of when members of that people betray what the people are supposed to stand for. The truth is, this is also a theme in Sharansky's book, Never Alone, for therein he discusses the growing attacks on Israel in the academy. And in perhaps the book's most devastating passage, Sharansky reflects how the anti-Israel Jews that he meets at times on American campuses remind him of his past life, reflecting on specific anti-Israel Jews that he met while visiting elite universities in Massachusetts. He reflects, quote, "These Harvard and MIT Jews acted like Soviet Jews in so many ways," adding, "In the Soviet Union, always conscious that you were a Jew, you kept your internal censor on. You knew your words and actions would be judged differently. Now on these elite campuses were the early warnings of a hyper-judgmental, suffocating, campus-based fear society rife with anti-Zionism, the new anti-Semitism, where people who thought they were the freest Jews in history didn't feel fully free. This Jewish skittishness in the world's strongest diaspora community made me grateful for my new freedom in Israel," end quote. Sharansky further describes how, when he visited Rutgers as a minister in the Israeli government, he was hit by a pie in the face by the hands of an anti-Israel Jewish student. It is terrible reading in his book of how a Jewish hero suffered in prison, dedicated himself to human rights and to the Jewish people, only to have baked goods thrown in his face by a Jewish college student who had done nothing with his own life. Sharansky loves the Jewish people, feels the gravitational pull of his people, but he is not afraid to recognize and to call out the fact that there are members of this people who have gone astray and betrayed his people. And yet, at the same time, what is inspiring about his book is that Sharansky refuses to give up on the segment of American Jewry that is becoming distant from Israel. And I myself have watched with wonder as he worked after he left the Jewish agency to guide and inspire young Israelis to serve as shlichim, representatives of the Jewish state to diaspora Jews, on the very college campuses where he was once assaulted. Faith in and hope for the Jewish people is always essential to leadership and is bound up with the legacy of Jerusalem itself. For the sacred city, as we have emphasized, embodies two things, the unity of God's covenantal people and the reign of God. We will soon mourn the danger that will present itself to the house of David and its worship of God through the connection forged by Jehoshaphat to the house of Ahab. But Jehoshaphat himself reigned for 25 glorious years over Jerusalem, seemingly surpassing Solomon in many ways. And we learn from his legacy to love the Jewish people and also to be loyal to the God of Jerusalem and his teachings above all. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.